So glad to be with you, Crudy.
John, let me ask you. The U.S. Census is out. We've been anticipating this for a long time, and we've talked a lot about the effect it will have on things like gerrymandering and redistricting, you know, political things. But, John, what does this census tell you, sir?
Well, what the census tells us, in addition to those important factors, is that the United States population is continuing to grow. We grew by about 7% over the last decade, but we're not growing as rapidly as we have in recent decades. Some people see that as a big problem. We see it as an opportunity.
And John, when you say we see it as an opportunity, let's talk about Population Connection just for a minute. What is the purpose of this organization, sir?
We are focused on meeting population challenges. The world adds about, in a typical year, about 80 million people to a planet that isn't getting any bigger. And the challenges are getting bigger every single day, whether we're talking about climate change or people having to leave where they are because of civil strife, wars, all kinds of issues, whether we're talking about all of the different challenges we face. We're doing it on a planet that has limited resources and more people. And our focus is really on, to use something from some music I just heard as the intro, giving power to the people. That is to say, removing the barriers that prevent people from making their own decisions about what they want to do with their personal reproductive lives. It's about giving people the power to decide what they want to do with their lives.
Well, John Seeger, there are some politicians right here in the great United States that might not see things your way. So let's talk about the population in the United States. For the first time ever, my understanding is we are edging towards a majority-minority nation, and that's a little spooky to some folks. But John, we also have this lack of labor, and we hear, you know, we need labor. And my thought has been, we need immigration. We need more Americans. You would advocate for something different. Please explain.
Well, let me say first, as the proud son of an immigrant, I have enormous respect for people who come to this country bringing their energy, bringing their hopes, bringing their dreams to make this country a better place. I wouldn't be here today if it weren't for the fact that my father was given the opportunity to become part of this country. So we have enormous respect for people who come here. What we need to do is look at a variety of factors. First of all, here at home, we need to ask ourselves, what's going to make our economy and our country healthy? And what you need more than anything else in an economy is healthy people, well-educated people, productive people. It's not so much where they came from, it's whether you can create a situation for people so that they can grow and learn and be productive. And if you do that, you don't need to worry about slower population growth. When it comes to people who want to migrate to our country, we can do more as a nation to help people in some of the poorer places on Earth so that they have more options and more alternatives. And I think that's important for people everywhere.
John, is it a zero-sum game? And what I mean by that is, I know that you think that the nation and the world is perhaps overpopulated, sir. But if we move population from south of the border into, you know, the continental United States or something, if we see migrations of populations, is that getting us any closer to a solution?
Well, first of all, you did point out correctly that for the first time as a nation, we're moving to into an era where we have majority-minority. It's not the first time as a continent. Let's keep in mind that for thousands of years, 100% of the people who lived on this continent were indigenous peoples. And even to this day, they are often sorely beset and denied basic rights. What we need to realize about migration, and I like the fact that you use that word, is that it's a basic biological phenomenon. Species migrate. We're a species. We've been migrating for as long as we've been humans. What we need to do is to have better systems and processes. And it's a terrible thing when people feel forced to leave where they are because of terrible conditions. And there's a lot we can do as a nation on both ends to help with that. But we've always migrated as a species. It's a question of how can you manage that in a way so that people can have decent lives.
Folks, you are listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Pardon me, that's John Seeger. He is president and CEO of Population Connection, a national grassroots organization. John, appreciate you joining us today. So what is the problem? I've asked on the show more than once. What's the worst that can happen? John, if we don't get a handle on the international population, to your opinion, sir, what is the worst that could happen?
Well, to quote a great philosopher and baseball player, predictions are difficult, especially when it comes to the future. A tip of the hat to Yogi Berra. Quite seriously, you can't predict exactly what is going to happen. Nobody has a crystal ball. But we know what is happening today. And we know that we are past the point of climate change. We're into a full-blown climate crisis globally. We know that for a fact. We know that because of many factors, including just modern jet travel, viruses can leap from one part of the world to another at a speed unimaginable in eras before. We know that everything on this planet is connected in an immediate way to everything else. Imagine, well, you don't even have to imagine. Look at what happened when a single shipping lane was blocked for a period of time in the Middle East. It disrupted markets and economies all over the world. We can't isolate ourselves as a nation from any of this. We can't sit here on this continent and hope that these things will just solve themselves. We've got to look at the problems clearly and be willing to invest time and resources in addressing them. If we don't, I can't predict exactly what's going to happen, but I can suggest that we're facing a future that's going to be very difficult for most of us.
John Seeger, what do you recommend, sir? What is the avocation of Population Connection?
The most important thing we can do is not remove, but smash the barriers that prevent people from making their own decisions about something that is very personal and very private. And that's the decision when and whether to have children. This is something that for most of us is the most important decision we make in our lives in terms of its impact. Today, so many people are prevented from being able to make those decisions because of a lack of good sex education, because of a lack of available health care, and because of politicians who think they have a right to run people's lives, and they especially think they have a right to run women's lives.
John, I've seen abortion statistics, and it's a large number, and I was personally a little bit surprised by the number of abortions performed. And I consider that part of reproductive care more broadly, contraceptive care. Is the problem here in the United States, is the problem international in certain cultures, whether that's driven by state or religion? John, where do you see this problem most prevalent? The lack of women and couples having control of their own reproductive choices?
Well, I may be quoting Dan Savage, who once said that it's such a shame that the United States got the Puritans and Australia got the convicts. We got the worst end of that deal. We are a very modern nation in some ways, but we're also a very backwards nation. We somehow see, for example, basic sexual issues in a very strange kind of way. Maybe it's some legacy of the Puritans. If you go to Europe, these are seen for what they are. They are public health issues. They are public health concerns. It's about safety. It's about taking care of one another. And for some reason, we have, and I don't want to speak too broadly because it doesn't apply to all Americans. There are many Americans who have very progressive points of view. But we seem to be a very meddlesome nation in terms of trying to control and monitor what individual adults do in their lives. And that's going on right now today in the state of Texas, I'm sorry to say. And I fear we're going to see some terrible consequences, not only in Texas, but nationwide, when the Supreme Court begins to act on these things.
John, I'm no expert on the topic, but my understanding is, A, abstinence education, not great. It misinforms people. It leaves them ill-informed and often leads to a rash of pregnancies because people have sex. Shocker. Above and beyond that, sir, I understand that when young ladies are given interuterine devices, when they are given control over their own reproduction, if you will, that the number of pregnancies, unwanted pregnancies, go down significantly. The number of abortions go down significantly. It seems like this education and this modest effort to provide people with reproductive care actually accomplishes many of the goals for those that ultimately want to ban abortion or at least greatly reduce the number of abortions. Well, that comes from sex education, does it not, John?
Contraception, modern contraception, is one of the great technological breakthroughs in history. For the first time, half the people on Earth have the ability to decide the trajectory of their lives. I'd like to note two things, however. There's been a shameful lack of progress in terms of male contraception. As someone pointed out, if men could get pregnant, birth control pills would be free and they'd be bacon flavored. The second thing to note related to
I had not heard that one. That's a good one, John.
And it's true. It's funny because it's true. The second thing is that it's critical when you're talking about contraceptive methods, you have to make sure that the decisions are in the hands of the person who is going to use them. Whether the age of the person is not what's relevant here. What's relevant is that they be informed decisions. You have to be very careful to make sure that nobody ever pushes a method onto someone else.
John, the Hyde Amendment, the federal amendment that, if I understand correctly, blocks federal funding of those that refer people for abortive care. My understanding is the Hyde Amendment may be coming to an end here, may not be included in further funding of the government. John, is that a step in the right direction, to your opinion, sir?
It would absolutely be a step in the right direction. There are some impediments to getting rid of it. In fact, one comes to mind in particular, and that's a senator named Joe Manchin, who is on the wrong side, in my view, of the fence on this issue. And we know because there's a 50-50 breakdown in the Senate, and breakdown is probably the right word to use, unfortunately, he has enormous power. And I have to say, to give one small bit of credit to Joe Manchin, he did suggest a solution to this, which to elect more progressive candidates to the U.S. Senate so that Joe Manchin won't be the deciding vote anymore.
John Seeger, I've got to ask you, if people want to get involved in your organization, if they want to learn more about why population control, and that's my word, I'm not saying it's your word, your organization, Population Connection, a national grassroots organization, John, how do people get involved? How do they learn more?
Well, we're all about putting control in the hands of individual people and families, and not in favor of any top-down approach. If people would like to know more about it, they can go to our website, Population Connection, or popconnect.org. We're glad to hear from people, and we welcome any feedback we can get.
John, I suspect it's a nonpartisan organization, but it seems like there's only one party that really is being reasonable out there and would ever be considerate of this conversation. I got like 45 seconds, John. Do we have to put our support in the Democrats to try and accomplish any of these goals?
Unfortunately, the GOP has lost its mind. There's no other way to put it. I don't even see them as a political party at this point. I think they have become really much more of a cult than anything else. I suspect there are two or three of them left who haven't completely lost their way. But at this point, in terms of major political parties, we've only got one at this point where you have members around the country who are at least proposing some good ideas. I don't know what it's going to take to get the GOP back, at least to the point of being a reasonable opposition.
Well, I'd take my chances with the Whigs. John Seeger, President and CEO of Population Connection, a national grassroots organization. Thank you so much, sir. More Devil's Advocates. We'll be right back.